LNB's audio diary for Monday, or rather for the 9th of January, 2023. It is a Monday, and it's 8:30 in the morning. I dropped off Mrs. Bronx at her job, and I stayed to help out. They're really short on volunteers right now, especially in the cat room. And in the cat room, they have cats and they have rabbits. I think I've talked about this in the past. But I've kind of gravitated to doing the rabbits. It's only three. It's not a big deal. First off, rabbits are really easy to care for if you have, you know, the area set up properly. They're easy to care for compared to other animals. Secondly, I got the job because I'm not allergic to hay, and almost everybody else there is. It's weird out in this country with all the ranches and stuff, but maybe it's not so weird, you know. At any rate, I do the bunnies, and then if I have the time, last couple days I've been staying to do the cats, and that takes a long time, and there aren't a ton of them right now. There's nine, I think they have nine of them. So it's not that many cats, but it's a time commitment. So yesterday, you know, we got there at 8 and I got out of there at 11:30. And that's just doing the rabbits and the cats. I can't do it every day, and today especially I can't, because little Bronx has a dentist appointment, so I have to get home, wrangle him, and then get us out the door and on the road. So it's gonna be one of those days where I'm driving, just lots of driving. Yeah, my favorite stuff. This issue with the volunteers is partly it's a seasonal thing, because a lot of their volunteers are people that come up from the valley, up from the Phoenix area and what have you, during the summer to escape the heat. And, you know, they'll have summer homes here or something, or a timeshare or whatever. You know, as I say, it's seasonal, or there's also always politics and stuff. And I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but there was drama. And some cat lady who thought that she knew best about how to care for cats rather than, you know, people whose job it actually is, got in a snit, and the owner said, yeah, you're not going to be fostering any more cats for us, because, I don't know, she was doing something weird, like, you know, trying to instill a special diet or something, you know, something the doctor wouldn't have approved, and, you know, none of that, right? And she got in a snit, so she left and went over to the Humane Society, which is nearby. It's not technically Sholo, it's actually Lakeside, but it's like really close. And there's a lot of spillover there. And then she started calling up the other cat volunteers and poaching them to go over there. At least that's the story. So they're down cat people. And what are you gonna do? It goes in cycles. This sort of drama happens anywhere that people congregate, obviously. But also, people who are into animals can be very, what's the best word? You could say a lot of bad words, but they're not necessarily accurate. But they can be very proprietary over the animals that they have been taking care of, you know, to the point where some of them begin to believe that either these are my animals in all but name, or I know these animals best because I've been taking care of them more than anyone else. And on occasion that's true. But most of the time, these are people who love animals but don't really know them. They don't understand them necessarily. And they don't necessarily understand from a health and medical standpoint. So you end up with people who have hurt feelings because they don't feel like they're being necessarily listened to. And it doesn't help that, you know, sometimes the leadership at the shelter can be, you know, brusque and even rude to people, and inconsiderate on occasion to people. The animals come first, and people oftentimes get lost in the mix. It does happen. So, you know, in other words, you end up with drama sometimes, and it can be very tiring. But there you go. I'm gonna open the window for a bit. It's hot in here. Oh, that's a bit too much, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that that helped. Anyway, I don't know what I was thinking. Because it's cold outside. I don't want to turn the AC on. I don't know. Anyway. So, what have I been up to? Well, I've actually been working... I said I wouldn't, but I've actually been working on the role-playing game. And I've been considering various approaches for a new version of it. I've also been working on a way to playtest a lot of stuff a lot easier. I think I've talked about this in the past, but I'll talk about it again. There is a virtual tabletop VTT called Owlbear Rodeo. And I've tested it before. Some of the people listening to this now may have jumped on there for a little bit with me and tested it out. Well, they have a new version of it out, 2.0, right? And it takes a different approach slightly than what they had before. So this is a service that you have to sign up for. Well, you don't have to. Actually, it is free, and you can play without an account if you want to. But if you get an account, then your stuff is, you know, your stuff stays. Otherwise, when you close the, you know, if you just go there, open up and play really fast, you don't need to sign up for anything. But then if you close that tab or your browser, all the stuff that you uploaded and everything else that you had there is all gone. If you make an account, it's perpetual, it stays, right? And they have a free tier and paid tiers, right? Because they have to pay for this somehow and pay for the development. And I think it's like two or three people behind it. They're an Australian crew. And I think they've decided to go for it, and the three of them are doing it full time. So they do need to be making, you know, some money on this thing. So but the free version, which is what I have right now, because I don't have a crew, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a gaming group. If I did, I might consider it, because I really like their approach to this. It's so much easier to use than something like Roll20. I haven't tried the other ones. I was looking at Astral for a long time, but Astral died. So, I have used Roll20, and I gotta tell you, the learning curve over there is really high. Probably not so high if you don't want to use everything, but it's slow because it's bloated, right? It's just, they cram everything in there. And if you don't have a modern machine on a really good internet connection, it is a painful experience. Not so with Owlbear Rodeo. It's much, much better, right? Much better than that. It's faster, it's snappier. It doesn't do as much, right? But it does do a lot. Primarily, it does... Okay, let's put it this way. Like, if we consider something like Roll20 to be, the AAA version of a VTT that has all the bells and whistles, you know, everything, including the kitchen sink, it's all there, right? However, it's probably true that 95% of players only use a small subset of those tools. Now, they may not use all the same tools, but probably, I would say, if it's 95% use a small subset of the tools, I would say 90% probably all use just the basic tools, right? With maybe some other sauce in there if they want to, right? So Owlbear Rodeo doesn't do like sound effects and stuff like that. But it does, and it, you know, there, it doesn't have the, like, you know, the lighting effects and all that crap, right? It's got the basic stuff you need for a tabletop experience, right? It's got, you know, you can put down maps, you can put down tokens, right? And in Owlbear Rodeo, parlance, a token is pretty much anything that you throw down there, right? Not a map necessarily, but everything else can be considered a token. And they're kind of treated the same way by the system, right? However, we'll talk about tokens in regard to characters, right? And, you know, in that regard, a token is a token is basically like a figurine for your characters. It can also be monsters, it can also be, at least over there, it can also be a building, it could be anything you throw on a map can be a token, right? And they have that, they have Fog of War, which if you play these things, you know what it's, you know what that is. If not, just very briefly, it is a way to hide parts of a map, right? So you put a map down on here, you get it all set up with your monsters or whatever, and then you send the link, you know, the link that's, you know, at the top of your browser, there's also a button you can click, to all of your players. And they don't need to sign up, they don't need to do anything, right? They just need to click that link or follow that link in their web browser, and boom, they're right there. They're right at your tabletop, right? And with Fog of War set up, when they show up, they don't see everything. You have part of it covered, right? And that's because wherever their characters are on the map, they, from their point of view, they wouldn't be able to see this stuff, right? Whatever it is, right? So if they're out in the forest and there's a hill there, you could put Fog of War behind the hill because they can't see behind the hill, right? Unless someone goes up there. And when someone goes up there, you can reveal that part of it that they can't see. So it keeps things surprising, it keeps things, you know, some mystery in there. I think Fog of War is pretty good, if it's simple to use. I have played with it on Owlbear Rodeo. I wouldn't say I've got a good handle on it just yet, because there are different types of tools you can use for Fog of War. You know, there are shapes you can draw that just, like, you know, there's a square room, so there's a default square shape that you can put down. Circles, that sort of thing. But there's also drawing pens, and there are ways to delete only parts of, you know, a Fog of War shade that you put up. You know, so there, it can get a little complicated. They have it simplified compared to some of the other places, but I'm not used to it. I've never really played in a game that used it, so I'm not very familiar with it, but I love the concept, right? Don't expect to have, like, weather effects or any of that crap, which I don't think those really help. Frankly, I think they're a distraction. I don't like sound effects in a game either. I find that distracting as well. You know, it's a noise that I'm listening to instead of listening to the game master or the other players. I don't really care for it. Music in the background, especially during combat scenes, can be nice. That can be really nice. So that's something that I wouldn't mind having. The version 1 of Owlbear Rodeo had a way to share music, but you had to use the Chrome browser, or Chromium on Linux, and it was, I guess, kind of hinky and, you know, kind of not in keeping with their philosophy, you know. So if you're using some kind of voice chat, generally there are ways to combine music into those if you want to use it. Otherwise, you know, screw it. You know, why bother? And I don't like sound effects. I absolutely don't like sound effects in, you know, these sorts of things. They're distracting, they're annoying. I don't like them. So, other people do. Other people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the kind of game you want, there are virtual tabletops that will adequately fill that thing. Remember, Roll20 also has a free tier, you know, free to play, and it has a lot of the tools, not everything, but it's got a lot of the tools, so you wouldn't need to go someplace like Owlbear Rodeo if it doesn't have, you know, like you wouldn't need to do without something that you really, really like. There are other alternative virtual tabletops that you can always choose. So it isn't for everybody, but I would say it's for most people, right? And I'm falling into this category because I love the simplicity of it. I did several test battles yesterday on a map, you know, learning how to pin a map and how to set up things, and you know, there were compromises that I had to make, and there were certain things that I wanted to do that the tools would allow me, but I had to figure out how to do it. So I set it up so that I have the way I would structure it now, a game, if I play today, I have it set up so that there is a room that will have the map, right? So they call them scenes. And Owlbear Rodeo, they call that a scene. You have a map done, you have a scene. You can also, they give you up to two, I forget their exact terminology, but it's like basically two spaces to have separate campaigns if you want, right? So like maybe you play Dungeons and Dragons and you play, I don't know, Starfinder, right? And they're not, you know, you don't want to have to clear everything out to set up, right? You're playing both of those games simultaneously. Well, you get two spaces that you can set up to have those things going on absolutely separate from each other if you want, right? If you want. Well, I have decided that, you know, if I get around to setting up a game and I want to, one of those spaces is for Star Drifter. And the other space, I have tagged, you know, I've put down these count, they're like, almost like forms, right? That I can place markers on or counters on, tokens, to keep track of things like initiative and damage that people are taking. And it's set up very, very easily, so I don't have to write any of this down, and I can share that out so that the players can see that and keep a running tally of it as well, right? So it's like, whose initiative is it? Well, they can just open up, you know. In other words, you have one tab with the campaign and the fight and everything else going on there, and another tab that's just got all the stats that are current right now. And I think that would be very handy for a game and for a team of people playing. So I worked on that yesterday. I got that set up and it works really, really well. I did, you know, did a couple test fights with that, and it's just so easy to follow. Even if you have a convoluted initiative system, and I think Star Drifters is a little on the convoluted side, or it can be, the advanced version. The basic one, you don't really need any kind of initiative, because the basic one assumes that everything is happening at the same time, more or less. So, but the advanced initiative, which is convoluted, becomes easy. It becomes very easy. So, games going forward, I think I'm going to try to use that and really test it out. Now, this brings me to another topic for the Star Drifter role-playing game, in that I, for 0.05, which will be the next version, I believe I'm going to try a new armor system, right? Right now I have a particular way that armor works in the game. I have an idea for another way that I'd like to use. Something a little, maybe a little better, a little more protective, but also, as a result, the weapons are going to change too, and they're going to become more deadly, but that's just to try to keep some semblance of balance to the game. The problem with armor, the armor concept that I have, is that it adds complexity. So what do I do about that? Well, I was thinking very seriously of changing the structure of characters in the game. And that will reduce complexity, right? So, is that a net balance? Is it even anything you can, you know, is it apples and oranges? I don't know. But by reducing complexity on one hand, I believe it would be okay to increase it on the other, right? And I'll go into it in detail once I've really hashed out everything and done a little bit of, at least a little bit of play testing. But I think that it's entirely possible that I might go in this direction. It was something I came up with for the solo play, but then I started thinking about it, and it's like, you know, this actually is not a bad idea. This might work for a regular campaign. And I don't know. I'll talk about it again in detail later. But there are some pretty radical changes afoot for the Star Drifter role-playing game. And I think the more development the game has, the more it becomes its own thing and not a derivative of something else. You know, as such as these things can. And I like it, and it makes me happy. You know, and we need a lot more of that in our lives. So anyway, yeah, I gotta get this guy on the road. So I guess that's it for today because I am home.